Lord God, that the words of my mouth and the very spirit of my heart may it be acceptable in thy sight, O God, as I come before you and before these your people. May you, O God, wash me this moment of all of the stress and anxiety and thoughts that I have had. And may you enter in now and let your spirit flow. Let your power come down and reign, O God, in the very words that I speak and the very moves that I take. May everything that I do and say in these moments yet to come, may they be what you desire for this day. I ask this in the humble name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our message this morning continues in our Advent theme that has been running for us throughout this early part of the month. If you were here on the first Sunday, we talked about keeping awake because we know not the hour nor the time in which the Lord will return in this Advent season. If you were here last week, you heard us talk about repentance. Not a simple, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it, it was an accident. It's more about, I turned my life around. I'm turning everything around. I'm not just saying, I'm sorry. It is that I'm not who I was. I'm not going to the place I used to go. I'm not doing the things I used to do. I really am letting go and letting you, oh God, into my life. And this week we are coming to you under the words of, what do you expect to see? What do you expect to see in this Advent season? In essence, what are you looking for? Our text this morning is so rich, and it really has multiple sermons, and I only can do one. But it begins, as you can see, with John being in prison. See, last week, John was at the banks of the River Jordan, and he was baptizing in the name of the Lord for repentance. But this week, as we arrive at the text and the scripture, he is now in prison. He's been arrested, and we won't go through the whole story, but he's been arrested, and he sends word out to God, to Jesus, because he's heard something about Jesus doing wonderful things in the world. And so he sent a messenger to Jesus. And as I like to remind you every now and then, that God doesn't always answer when we expect us to, but God always will give an answer. And so when John the Baptist sends out a messenger to Jesus and he asked him, is he the one or is there somebody else coming? Jesus does something really, really neat. Jesus responds. Jesus answers without any question or doubt. We don't know how long, my sisters and brothers, it took for the message from John to get to Jesus. And we're not even told that the messengers that Jesus sent back, when they arrived or how they arrived. But we know in this text that Jesus answers John. And what does he say? He says to John the very words of the song we sang this morning. That the blind are able to see, that the deaf are able to hear, that the lame are able to walk, that the dead get up and walk. Indeed, he tells him there's something. He lets him know, yes, indeed, something is happening. There's something going on in this season that is truly different than what has happened in the past. And that's one sermon we won't do, but the other part of the sermon is this one. Jesus looks at those who are left and he says to them, he says, what do you expect to see? What did you expect to see? What did you want to see? For indeed, John the Baptist would go down to the waters of Jordan and he'd have to cut through the weeds. You know, when I read this thing, I immediately went back to Moses going across the river with the children of God when they crossed the sea. And I'm thinking, oh my Lord, here he is going back to these reeds. And in essence, along the riverbank, there would have been reeds. And so did they go down to see the baptism and the spreading of the reeds? Is that why you went? You went to see something happen. Did you go to see sort of a magical act, or did you go down for some other deeper purpose? And then he asked him, he says, did you go down to see somebody in a royal robe? And as we heard last week, we know that John the Baptist was not wearing a royal robe. He was wearing camel hair and eating wild locusts. He was nobody special. He was not in a kingly, powerful place. He was in a low, poor place. He was at a level that would have been my level. He was not someone who was sitting high and looking low. Indeed, he was just a servant of the Lord. And so Jesus asked him, he says, so did you go to see somebody in the reeds, or did you go to see somebody in a royal robe because they might have power and authority? Is that what you wanted to see? Is that what you went for? But he didn't stop there. He said to him, he said, so did you go to see because you were looking for a prophet? Were you looking for someone from old to tell you some magnanimous story? Were you going there for that? Were you going there not only just to see some miracle that might have happened along the Jordan in baptism? Did you go just to see somebody in a royal robe down by the riverside? Or did you go because you wanted to hear a prophet? Jesus responds, you who would have gone, you who would have saw, you saw someone who was greater than a prophet. Look out now. He said, you saw someone who came to deliver a message and prepare the way. Did you go there to hear the word of the Lord? Did you go there to hear the message? Or did you go there because you wanted to have someone talk to you and there was nothing that you had to do? Because remember, last week, John the Baptist told them that they needed to repent. They needed to turn around. The message wasn't simply that you were just coming to hear a story. The message wasn't simply that you were just coming to listen and go home. The message was that you were to prepare the way in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, to change and turn around so that you might know and see the Lord. What did you go to see? What did you come to see? In essence, that same question is being asked of you and me this morning. Why are we looking in this Advent season, and what are we looking for? What do we hope to see? What change are we willing to make? What things are we willing to let go of in the name of God? Or are we just coming because we want to see the poinsettias and we want to sit in the sanctuary and we just want to do what we do, which is we come to church on Sunday morning? But are we coming for something far deeper, far richer? Are we coming to really open our hearts and our minds so that the Lord might enter in? Are we coming so that we might be changed, rearranged, turned around? Or are we coming to look at who's got what new outfit on for Christmas? Are we coming because we want to have the fine foods that might be served? What are we expecting? What are you expecting? As I was pondering this message, I began to think about a visit I had earlier of a woman who's in a nursing home. And I asked her, I said, what would you want for this Christmas? What would you want for this Advent season? She said, I would just want to be able to be with my family, to have a meal with my family, to be able to sit around the table. And I thought, isn't that of God? I think about someone who might be suffering from cancer, where the doctor has told them there is nothing else they can do. They've been given a diagnosis that says, I'm sorry, sister, I'm sorry, brother, but we've done all that we can do, and your time is short. And I just want to imagine that they would want for this Christmas, for this Advent season, what they would want to see is to sit around the tree and to do some of those activities they used to do as the stars shone bright, reminding them of Christ's grace and Christ's love. To that they would want to sit around the tree with their family. Not necessarily opening gifts for themselves, but watching the joy and the beauty of them opening the gifts and the presents for themselves. Knowing the gift they've already received is a gift of presence with them. I wonder what those who were sitting at the border would want for Christmas, for this Advent season, for those whom we've told you can't get in, for those who are dying, for those who are sick, for those who are struggling at our borders, who are only seeking to see the goodness of this nation. I want to believe that's what they would want to see for this Advent season. They would want to see the goodness and the godliness that you and I are caused to espouse into the world, that we so claim in the worship space. But do we live it in our lives and in our journeys? I was just wondering what others would want to see. In essence, what do you want to see this Christmas? Jesus is asking the question, not me. What do you want to see? Is it about some miracle happening, some baptism occurring? Is that what you want to see? Are you coming to see all the fine trinkets and trash that we can give? I should say treasures. Trinkets and treasures that we give each other for Christmas and around the holiday season? Is that what we want to see? I say trinkets and trash because when I was a youth director back in the day, we used to always have gifts and things that we used to use all the time. And we did it so much that after a while, one of us started saying, let's get our trinkets, and we skipped treasures and went to trash. So it really wasn't because it was anything magnanimous. It was just a nice thing to do. But is that what we're expecting, to see something royal and something beautiful and something powerful and something, or are we coming because of the Christ child? Are we coming because of what the season ought to mean to us, that unto us a Savior is born? Unto us Christ is given. Unto us a gift of love and life everlasting is offered to us. Is that what we come to see? Or do we come for those moments of just solitude and quietness? Do we come wanting to have simplicity? Do we want to come for safety in our world, for violence to be less, for poverty to be smaller? Is that what we want to see? Indeed, that is what Jesus is yet asking. For in this Advent season, as Christ is yet coming, the question becomes, what do you and I want to see? Because what we want to see is where our heart is. And where our heart is where our treasures lie. Is our treasure with that of the child, of the lowly? Is our treasure with that of the impoverished, of those who are struggling, whether it's mental illness or some other ability? Are we wanting to see a newness in the world, or are we coming because we want to see our own show? This is what Christ is asking you and me. And I trust this morning, I trust that this week, I trust that this month, that not only you are keeping awake for Christ to come, not only are you willing to turn around in your journey so that Christ might be renewed and restored in you, but I hope that just as John, as Jesus tells them that no, a messenger comes to prepare the way. I hope that you and I are doing exactly that, that what we want to see is a preparation of a way for Christ to enter not only into our lives, but into our homes, into our community, into our stress and strains, into the midst of our struggles. I hope we are preparing a way that Christ can live out in us, into the world, in a way that will touch, change someone's life. I hope and trust that you and I have come to this place wanting to see Christ's love shared into the world so that all humankind
might know the goodness and the greatness of God. The question remains, I come to see Christ. I come to see Christ renewed in my heart, renewed in my spirit, renewed in how I live. What do you expect to see? What do you want to see? Christ simply wants to see you just as you are. Christ wants you just as you are. Amen.